You're listening to episode 264 of Women Worldwide. How do you handle change in your business and life? Are you able to shift your focus, shift ahead, and navigate uncertainty? I've got a guest today who has a lot to share on this topic, so stay tuned to learn more. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. Thank you so much for showing up wherever you are in this world. We really appreciate it. These are uncertain times, and we realize that there's new challenges and ways to navigate what's going on. And Women Worldwide is here to help. Also want to let you know that our hearts go out to all of you, all of the people whose health is being impacted by COVID-19 and business and life as well. So let's talk about today's topic and special guest. The topic is relevant because it speaks to what's going on today, the way that we have to shift and change and navigate these uncertain times. And there's something to be said about shifting forward or focusing forward and what you can do with your business and your family as you go through this. My special guest today is Tamar Weinberg. And Tamar she calls herself a professional hustler. She's a customer champion advocate. She's a digital marketing strategist and inbound sales leader. And she's also, she's an author. She wrote the book, New Community Rules, Marketing on the Social Web. I remember when that book came out, I think it was around 2009. So Tamar is an early adopter. She saw things changing and shifting in business with technology and social media. So I welcome you, Tamar, to the show. It's great to have you.
Thank you so much. I'm so delighted to be here. Thank you so much, Deirdre.
Well, you are the perfect guest because there is something to be said about these changing times and how we kind of have to look ahead and what we need to do to make things work. There's a lot going on. So first off, how are you doing and what's going on where you are in New York?
Yeah, so that is actually an interesting question. I will say that I'm going to give a disclaimer or disclosure here that if our Zoom, because we are doing this on Zoom, if it breaks off, it's because we are all in isolation. We are all in quarantine. And I think there is a tremendous bottleneck on internet resources right now. I'm already trying to like navigate the territory in terms of communicating socially through my screen with Deirdre. I am really struggling, I will say. But so I'll give you a little story. While the world has made their decision to, or rather the various governments and local governments have made decisions to quarantine most of the country, I had my quarantine initiated in the beginning of March, which is about 2 weeks prior to most of the large metropolitan areas around me. And even the larger, the other side of the country. I live in New Rochelle, New York, which okay. If anybody actually Googles New Rochelle coronavirus, we'll see that it was the first case of community spread.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There was a 50-year-old man who I came into contact with.
And oh, several, my goodness.
Yes. And that individual, first of all, I'm not putting him as the index. He's the official index case, but it is unlike it's hard to say if he's the person who has initiated it. There are probably lots of asymptomatic people beforehand who came into contact with multiple people, and he was the one who got sick enough to be put on a bed in the hospital. And once it was disclosed, that was the world's. I don't even know. So our entire community, as soon as it was brought to the attention of the community that there was a coronavirus patient, we all, about 1,000 of us, self-quarantined. And then it kicked off a series of events that required multiple house visits from the Department of Health, all clad in their coronavirus body suits and N95 masks. And
see, this we don't hear about. I didn't know that they came door to door. So you got that visit.
I did not get that visit.
Oh, okay.
So this is actually an interesting article. I wrote about it on Medium, at Tamar is my username, and it's called "I Tested Positive for Coronavirus. Here's What I Want You to Know." So that's actually a great read. I highly recommend it. I don't toot my horn very often. I don't write very often, but I think that I highly recommend anybody wants to read a little bit about the early stages of quarantine and what that looked like, what my personal experience was.
So you are positive. Tamar, you tested positive.
I'll get there. Hold on. We're jumping the gun here.
You just gave the spoiler. I heard you say it.
Spoiler. Oh, yeah.
Now you said it in the article.
Yes. That's a good point. That is a good point. This is not coronavirus. Okay. This is not coronavirus for them. But so the story is, yeah, I didn't think about that. So they started making house visits. I did make the inquiry. I probably was the first person in the community to inquire with the liaison with the Department of Health secretary or whatever to have her start taking my information down and to schedule testers. The testers went to, I would say, they went to about 300 houses in the community, from my understanding, or maybe 300 people and amongst those multiple houses. And they never went to me. I even called several days later. I said, I'm symptomatic. They said, oh, don't worry, we'll get you. And never happens. A week after that, a couple of days after that, they erected one of the first testing sites in the state to allow people to drive in and test. Now, I will tell you, I had been my contact with the positive patient was not that individual. I don't think it was him. And I became symptomatic about March 8th or so. I had a contact on March 1st that I believe was was my coronavirus positive. And March 8th, I called in issues with symptoms. They never came. And on March 15th, which if a quarantine is 2 weeks, that would have been the last day of my quarantine. And I decided because I was free, if you will, because mm-hmm. that's, you know, the quarantine is just a blanket 2 weeks. They don't really talk about, and this is part of the problem. They don't really talk about that. They say if it's you're 2 weeks, they don't say if it's 2 weeks, you'll add on to your quarantine if you're right. symptomatic. They just say 2 weeks, stay indoors. That I think is a misleading term. And I ended up testing on March 15th. Got my results back March 17th on a website that wasn't disclosed to me, but somebody else happened to know it. And then I got a phone call March 20th. Oh yeah, you're positive. So this chronology, it is insane. And yes, I knew that I was positive because I had all of the symptoms of COVID-19 that right. people are talking about. And I will talk about that as well, because I want to
okay, good.
So for me, I had ongoing low-grade temperature, never on consecutive days, which is very weird. The maximum was always 100.2. In fact, all 3 days, it was 100.2. But it was like Saturday.
What do you
Saturday.
Consider low-grade? Is that just over 100, or is that your 99 range?
So for me personally, it was 100.2. But okay. I had, you know, I would say I was actually hovering between 98.6 and 99.2. It was very, very... I haven't taken my temperature anytime recently, but I will say that it was, it was like a Saturday night and then a Wednesday and then like another Saturday. And I had 100.2 on three different dates. I had a little bit of a headache. I'm not sure if that's COVID-19 because I'm prone to headaches, but I did have muscle aches, especially like right over here.
Okay.
Very weird for me. I don't typically have muscle aches.
So even if you got the flu earlier, let's just say, would you be achy if it was...
I never had the flu, thank
never
God.
Never had the flu, okay.
So I can't tell you, but people so describe it as mild flu. I will say okay. that there's a couple other indicators, and I'll get there.
Okay.
But I had a little bit GI issues, but I don't even know what that means because I wasn't like nauseous or anything. I was just like, GI for me is GI. Right. I don't usually have anything.
Upset.
Yeah. Some people describe it as diarrhea. I did not have diarrhea. Like, whatever. TMI, right. But that's sort of the story. But for me... I also had a little bit of a dry cough, and I might actually end up doing that here.
Okay.
Just like that. That's exactly what it sounds like. And that was actually a real cough. That's what it is. It's very weird. It's It's you so feel different. Like you have to cough. Yeah, it's not a normal cough.
No. Is it a constant? Like you just said, how I might have to. Before, were you coughing regularly and a lot more in sequence, or was it always just a little and then an hour later?
It was this. There was a time yesterday where I say it was probably my worst coughing fit, and was like maybe an hour of having to do that. Okay. But I wouldn't say it wasn't like, you know, every 2 minutes. It was like 5 minutes here. It's the virus is very weird, at least in terms of how it worked. It was in me.
Right. And it is different for everyone.
Everyone. Yeah. I mean, obviously some people are on ventilators and some people aren't. Most people do describe symptoms that are similar to me to some degree. There were two other things that are predominant in COVID-19 patients. One of them is the shortness of breath, which is something that you typically, not a tightness in your chest. I want to be very clear because I have a friend who is, I'm now becoming the COVID-19 doctor. I've gotten countless text messages.
I was just going to say, yes.
Florida, like, yes, I'm not the COVID-19 doctor. Please don't. But I am going to describe some of the symptoms because a lot of people are the chart online is not accurate because it doesn't mention the two things I'm about to mention. The shortness of breath is legitimately something very different. Like, for example, I would be walking or I'd be having a conversation and I'd have to pause to count to catch my breath. I don't have that now. Thank God.
Okay.
But I had issues like that. I noticed that when I was, and I've been in several media appearances. I was on CNN. I was like on Fox and ABC, CBS, several different Fox channels and BBC, like all these different things. And thankfully they didn't catch any of that because
I don't know if it's because you're talking, but I feel like I have this little cough now.
no, please don't. I don't want to do that. I'll learn a lot of, I will learn a lot of social media. A lot of social media hypochondriacs.
Okay.
I might have actually caused that. That's why I probably have, I'm getting people to text me. Oh, I have this. Do you think I have it? Oh, I have reflux. Do you think I have it? Oh, my toe hurts. Do you think I have it? Yes. No. But okay. So the two things I would say were primary drivers for me to realize I had COVID-19 are number one thing that most people can't measure and the other thing that I think everybody can. The first thing was I have a really nice Garmin watch here. I'm a little obsessed with this. I have, it monitors my resting heart rate and resting, that's usually, and I wear it at night when I'm sleeping.
Okay.
And my resting heart rate was 61. When I'm usually at night, it's between 46 and 50.
So yeah.
61 is a substantial increase.
For resting,
I brought it down through fitness. It hadn't been 61 for 10 months. So that was a huge, huge indicator. I wasn't sure. I asked a couple of I even asked a cardiologist of mine who happens to have been a test positive person also. So he probably would have identified, if you will, with this. And he said, it looks like it's something to keep your eye on. That was his response. And the other thing, which is a lot, and asymptomatic people also have it, is I had a loss of smell and taste. Sure. And that is, and there's articles of that now. I have seen that. Yeah. So I announced it in my article Saturday night and Sunday, all the news came out, New York Post, New York Times, and a Business Insider, variety of other publications said this is an indicator of potentially asymptomatic COVID-19 or symptomatic, in my case, COVID-19. So that to me, when especially because I'm about to launch something that would have been a threat to that, is certainly caused up for a little bit of alarm. And I realized I have it. So when I got my test, I got my results. It was confirmation. I got the results again on the 17th and the 20th. They told me you're basically in isolation for another 2 weeks. And that should be ending Sunday, except that because of the achiness, I'm not sure. So right now I have made the decision to isolate as best as I can.
What about your family?
As long as I can.
Because have kids.
So when I say isolate, I'm not isolating from them entirely because I've been, some people say that I might not be 100% contagious anymore.
Okay.
But I do have young children. I have 4 children between the ages of 3 and 10. And I've had to be a mom. So I can't, I'm doing the best I can right now. And I have not you know, thankfully all my husband and my four children have all tested negative. They are totally asymptomatic and we are quarantining as a family as long as possible. I maintain social distance as much as possible, but I think there are even hypotheses right now. And this is not my hypothesis, but that it could be that they might not have like a recessive gene that would manifest in the actual COVID-19. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a researcher. I'm not working in the medical field at all. But if they don't have it and they're asymptomatic right now, and I have like kept my social distance, my husband especially, and he's going to be going shopping. I'm going to keep the kids in the house.
Yeah.
I think that I would like to think that everything's going to be okay when we get out, but we are as best as we can as a family. Like we have not left our house except to go to the testing site. And
yeah,
this since March 3rd. So it's crazy stuff.
Ari, thank you so much for sharing all of that. And tomorrow we are going to pick up on this discussion. I'm going to ask you to hold your thoughts just for a moment. Shift our focus. We're going to do something a little fun. I hope you think it's fun.
I love fun.
The sponsor of today's episode is Routledge Publishing. They're one of the world's leading publishers of textbooks and academic journals, and they are the publisher of my book, Answers for Modern Communicators. And Tamar, you probably already know this, but I've answered over 150-something questions in this book around public relations, marketing, social media, reputation, relationship building, being more social. So I thought it would be fun if I could just ask you a question I've already answered. And I know it's going to be an easy one, and if you just give me a super quick answer, that would be awesome. So here it is. This is simple. Question number 78. How do you up your learning online? So in other words, Tamar, where are you going to learn online? Where are you getting your best information? Maybe you could share.
Well, I'm one of these people right now that's trying to strive for self-improvement. So part of the learning for me is various, I do read, and I'm sorry, I'm going to give you the offline answer. I'm doing a lot of book reading these days. I have actually made a determination.
Me too. Yeah. I have Audible. I mean, I'm listening to books on Audible too, but
I don't have the brain capacity to do that because I multitask. So I'll read one page or one sentence and then I'll have to answer something else because I'm beholden. I can't do it. But I've been trying, but that's good. That's good. Yeah. So I'm doing a lot of reading. I use Duolingo and the app for language learning, and I've been doing so for 560 plus days consecutive so far.
Excellent. What language are you learning, or?
I did Hebrew, and I'm working on Spanish now. I will say that my Hebrew knowledge was also supported by going to school.
Yeah,
learning Hebrew there. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to become a little more fluent, and I can't say I am. I still read things online and I'm like, let's bring the translator out there. But I feel more confident to have a conversation. And hopefully, I don't know, it's very difficult to do this and to actually to maintain it unless you're engaging on a regular basis, and that the apps themselves don't do that. But I will say that has been a goal of mine. I have two different answers for you for the how do I do that stuff, and I'll give you the very quick version. Besides some subscription, paid subscriptions, I like the Hustle and Hustle Trends, which is very resourceful for me as somebody who I consider, as you say, professional hustler. I'm also like entrepreneurial driven, so I like to find things like that. There's also groups in general, and I find Facebook groups that are very niche is really, really something that I have been using for self-growth.
Terrific.
I don't know if everything is so like learning, but I think it's like-minded partnerships, which I think is important, like-minded community. The other thing, which hopefully you've never heard of before in Women Worldwide, is Reddit. The subreddits for a variety of different communities.
I do know Reddit. I've millennials.
yeah.
in the family.
I'm not a millennial, which is funny. I know you know it. I just don't know if anyone's ever said it. So
Reddit is great. And the subreddits. Yeah. No, I'm glad you said it.
Specifically finding the right subreddits for your need. Because there's actually a subreddit called No Surf. People trying not to surf online. And I say Reddit is a great community if you find the right surfing communities. Like, so for example, for me, and apologies in advance for the language that I'm about to share here, but one of the best subreddits for self-confidence, and I've struggled with that, I've been depressed and I came out above, I've risen above the ashes, is a Reddit called How Not to Give A, and I won't even actually say it, but you can figure it out.
It's, right.
It's a letter words that starts with the first letter of four. And I will say that it's given me, I have been as a human being, I've struggled with acceptance, and I'm starting to realize, I want to be my authentic self.
Might be yourself.
I am, you know, that's why I've shared my story, which would have been very personal about like my COVID-19. That's why, and if you look on my Instagram right now, I called out a freeloader on my product page. Like somebody, I'm, you know, launching a fragrance brand, and we'll talk about that in a second. Somebody had said, I'm not going to tell them, oh, I have COVID-19, I'm not sending you free products. But someone had asked me for free products, and I said, I will let you know. And she said, Okay, I see what you're doing. I will only help you if you're good to me. And I said, seriously? So I screenshotted her message and I said, listen, I'm a small business. I haven't even launched yet. I haven't made any money to my name. And I'm going to be a little honest about these experiences. I want people to see that we're struggling. And while I don't know if I should apologize for this, because some businesses are like, you shouldn't do that. You should be perfect to your customers. I want people to realize we're
human. I think you're being transparent.
Right, exactly. And my business mission is authenticity and humanizing. It's not about like, let's be formal and let's, you know, thank you so much for like, I'm not, of course, yes, of course I'm going to be polite as best as possible, but I was polite and it wasn't good enough. So it was very passive aggressive. I'm going to unfollow you because you're not giving me free products. So I'll be like, how about no, not okay. Well,
you know, we'll end the sportion portion. Thank you.
Sorry.
No worries. We're going to keep diving back in, but thank you, Routledge, for publishing the book and thank you for answering the question. But Tamar, there's a lot clearly to talk about. No, absolutely. You're awesome and you're a sharer and you are being authentic and transparent, which is really important now with information the way that it is. I think companies have to be transparent, truthful, and things have to be timely. But would you like to share? I mean, you did mention about your product. You want to give us a little bit about, you know, what you are doing?
Yeah, I would love to. So I will tell you that, first I will talk about the trajectory and being kind of ahead of the curve, if you will. And I don't take credit on that. I was in love with social media since 1993 when I found online chat rooms. Like I have.
Yeah, it's really early. Seriously early.
Yeah. And when I was in high school, I said I was going to major in computer science because that's the closest thing to online marketing. There wasn't any of that. So I majored in computer science, stuck through it. I hated it. I will say I hated it, but only because it's very theoretically driven versus let's program and build apps. So I didn't actually build apps at all. I became a systems administrator because systems administration was at least a little more face-to-face than anything else. And I was doing tech support in systems administration. So I was taking phone calls and whatever else. That evolved into, social media started evolving. Facebook came out in about 2004. I had just joined. I was one of the first schools to join Columbia University. And, you know, I did see potential for making viral content in about 2006, 2007, because I ended up at a search engine marketing agency and they had also seen the potential for social media.
Weren't you also at Mashable? Like, one of the first employees at Mashable?
I was.
It was tech at the time, a lot of tech.
Yeah. So I found I was seeing the potential of social media for virality and reached out to Pete, and Pete finally followed up with me like 7 months later. And that
Pete Cashmore.
Pete Cashmore, the CEO of Mashable. And
great.
I became employee number six.
Wow.
And then everything changed, and my position was less about marketing and more about sales because people, everything was evolving in such a different and rapid pace. So that's where kind of built the professional hustler title.
Yeah.
From like, I don't know, computer science for whatever I know to marketing to sales. And then I started doing when you're an employee number six at a company, you basically have to do everything, including cleaning the toilets, which by the way, we were remote. So I wasn't cleaning the toilets.
That's good.
But what
skills do you need to be a professional hustler? So you're somebody who's, you know, focusing forward. You got it. You see this viral nature of the social web and everything that could be. So what was it about your skills, your learning, your knowledge that helped you? So
I called myself a professional hustler for like maybe 9 years now. And people, that word had such negative connotations in 2011. But the word professional hustler for me is, and I'm sure everybody now, the word hustle doesn't have the negativity sure. that it has. I used to get people contacting me. Some people it was very divided. About 70% love the title. 30% would say, what is this? Is this like Hooters? You know, like with the podcast. But in terms of hustling, I have literally like done sales, marketing, business development, communication.
So get out of your comfort zone.
Not so much getting out of my comfort zone because I made those things my comfort zone. But I would say I'm a jack of all trades, master of none.
Doing different things.
The world, the professional hustler, I guess the appropriate formal term, if you will, and if people know it, is generalist. I generalize in a lot of different specialties, and I'm not an expert in any given one. And that's, you know, for an entrepreneur, that's what I need to do. That's what I need to be. But yeah, it was an evolution of sorts for how I started with social media marketing. I was ahead of the curve there. And then I evolved away from social media marketing in about 2012 because social media marketing became more saturated once I wrote the book on it in 2009. And I said it's less about broadcasts and more about ongoing relationships. I kept pitching from 2009 to 2012. I kept saying social media marketing needs to be more about understanding your community, not just throwing, you know, megaphoning to your to the community. And so I shifted that into I have realtimeemail.com. It was like a customer experience. You get responses from me in real time. Of course, when I'm doing an audiobook, if I were to do an audiobook, I wouldn't be able to do that. But I'm a huge multitasker type person. And said, you know, that gave me a little more operations insight because I was working with clients specifically in the supply chain and in the e-commerce world. And that kind of brought itself to my current day, which I guess I'll go into. And I know, I don't know if you want to like, I guess lead or if I should basically have led with it already. Anyhow, I didn't realize the entire time since 2009. And 2009 was the birth of my first child. And as I mentioned, I have four children. I had postpartum depression, but I didn't realize it. It was mild. And I guess it consistently lasted through the birth of his sister in 2012, 2014, and 2016. So my four children. And then in 2018 or so, I hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
And I was in a bad place. I was invested in, I was not invested in my personal appearance. I wasn't invested in anything. I'd invested in how I smelled, which why would it matter? And one day for some reason, I would say, I don't know if my motivations were selfish. My motivations were curious. I found a tiny little 2 ml vial of perfume in the back of a cabinet. And it was something I hadn't not worn before. I actually had worn it before. And I put it on. And it, because my mindset was so different, I wasn't doing it for most, the way most people perceive fragrance is let's put it on. I'm going to smell good for other people. Well, for me, I put it on for myself. But I think, again, my motivations weren't there. I was just, let's be curious. And because my mindset was so different, it was transformative. It was a big aha moment. It was an aha moment entirely. And you think about it, we have five senses and our sense of smell is something we totally take for granted. Having this, that's why I go back to COVID-19 and losing my sense of smell, that's a big deal.
That is a big deal.
Like I want my thing, it changed me. It brought me to a place where I felt a desire to do things again. And
that's wonderful.
yeah, it was my impetus to start reading every single day. So I started doing that in about December 24th, 2018. And I said, I have a goal every single day. I'm going to read a book. That means if I have to, before I go to bed, or not read a whole book, like at least read pages of something. And I have not missed a day. I don't feel like I can. And running also, I've started adopting an habit of running or walking on a treadmill, because if I can't have shortness of breath or I have surgery, which I've had in the interim as well, like I can't maintain that, but I have that goal to be consistent with those two habits and a variety of other things. I mean, I talked about learning languages as well. So, but that I realized, you know, the thing about personal fragrance in general is that people are, as I talked, you know, said, they're wearing it for other people. I, that experience for me, for myself. And I said, well, you know, I can't sell this concept to other brands who are doing it their own way. I'm going to launch my own personal fragrance brand with a wellness and a lifestyle play. So it's personal fragrance for wellness. Today in the COVID-19 and isolation is the perfect time for you to like put it on and feel good about yourself.
As long as you have that sense of smell.
Yeah. And I actually have to say that I don't think it's 100% back yet. So it's a little disappointing. And for the, since I started doing this in about, I would say June of 2018, I have never missed a day except for this COVID-19.
Of course. Case. Well, thank you so much for sharing all of that, and congratulations. I know that it was tough for you to get to that aha moment, what you went through, but it's amazing how you pivot. This whole show has been about flexibility and navigating what's going on, especially challenges, and you certainly did that. So Tamar, I can't even believe it. We're up to the second to last question, which is the advice question. What can you share with women worldwide listeners about being flexible with change as you move through things? What have you done and what advice can you give to them?
So it's a really interesting question. And I'm not giving business advice here. I'm giving personal advice. I think ultimately it comes down to attitude. If you asked me this 3 years ago when I was depressed, I would see this as like literally a cloud over my head. And I'd be like, this is the worst thing ever. But I have seen so many silver linings in the fact that we're all in isolation right now. Think about the beauty of the fact that we're so socially connected. We can still have these Zoom calls. These women worldwide things are not being disrupted. They're actually being...
No, we keep boosted. Charging forward. We just want help.
And for me personally, being in the community of quarantine initially, the outpouring of support from all over the Northeast and beyond had been amazing. I have to say I have nothing but gratitude for my neighbors and friends who have shown their well wishes and have really like checked in.
Yeah.
It could have been a lot worse. Think about this. If we did this 10 years ago, we wouldn't have this. There's no Zoom. Our internet connection.
Right. Not being able to be connected.
Exactly. Yeah. So I would say attitude. I will say that try to find something to perk your senses. Like that's why I talk about fragrance. I want to normalize this throughout the day, and I want to bring this to your bring it back to the present. If you put it on with like a specific mindset, I put it on in the morning with this is going to be a great day, and I revisit that throughout the day, even though it's a little difficult to do that at the present time. And if you have that problem,
find a happier feeling.
yeah. But I would say if you do that, I really believe that it can ground you and help bring you forward. And of course, under different circumstances, it might even be a little more pleasurable. But that's what I think my biggest piece of advice right now is try to see the silver linings. There are silver linings. People have actually said to me, and I'm going to end with this. People have actually checked in with me. They're like, I'm so sorry you have COVID-19. I'm like, okay, first of all, my symptoms are mild. They're like a 3 on a scale from 1 to 10 when the doctor asks you what you're thinking.
Sure.
I haven't had to do with much of that. And also, once I'm out, I don't think I can get it again. There are conflicts of interest on that front, but I'm not a risk to other people once I'm out. And finally, there's so many people contacting me right now saying, there's a study here at this hospital, there's a study there at that hospital, there's a study there at that hospital. Now, I've never donated blood to do that, but I am going to do that because I can save lives. So there's my silver lining. There's a lot of positive that's coming out of this, and I want to see that. I'm looking for that. I'm trying not to look at the negative.
That's great advice. It's your attitude. Find the silver lining. Thank you very much for sharing everything that you did. Tamar, last question. Where can people find out more about you and what you're doing and your fragrance if it's up and out there?
Yeah. So my fragrance brand is pre-launched. So right now I'm building up the list on Tamar.com. Eventually, if whoever listens to this in a couple months, Tamar.com will hopefully be a storefront. Trying to build up interest probably for a type of crowdfunding campaign. So there's Tamar.com for the fragrance, TamarWeinberg.com for my information, personal information. And as I talked about earlier, my Medium stories are on Medium.com/@Tamar.
That's terrific. Thank you. I appreciate the conversation, how authentic you are, what you shared about your own situation. And you certainly are definitely letting everybody know that you're finding the silver lining, which is amazing. So yes, you are an inspiration. Thank you. And I want to thank all of the Women Worldwide listeners. It's because of you that we continue to grow. It's wonderful that we can still be connected. You know how to find me on social media at Dee Breckenridge if you want to tweet or DM me. You can always email me, Deirdre@pureperformancecom.com. And everybody, stay well, stay healthy. And I always say, stay energized, focused, and empowered. Thank you.